Today's a really beautiful day in my family. Today is a day of celebration in my family because today is the 40th wedding anniversary of my mom and dad. And yeah, all right, mom and dad, yeah. That is exciting. That is exciting. It was so funny. I was watching this happen yesterday. I was back at my mom and dad's in the evening and was with my mom outside in the driveway because currently they've been on the summer-long project of painting their house. And my mom and dad are big project people, so, you know, they didn't hire anybody. They did it, right? And one of the last things they have to do is paint the garage. Now, they don't know what color they're going to paint the garage yet, so they actually have three colors currently on the garage door, and they're trying to decide, but they have to wait because they have a new front door coming in, and so now we have to make sure. At any rate, my mom and I were outside, you know, just kind of like pondering, you know how you kind of just to the side, you kind of like put your head sideways, all of that. We were looking at the garage, talking about which colors we liked, and my dad came down the road and parked, and my mom was like, "Don't park in the driveway. We're looking at the garage door." So he parked in the road, the street across from our house, and so I went over to meet my dad, and I watched him as he took a little bit of time getting out of the car because he was gathering things from the front seat. My mom was standing over in the front yard, just watching him, and I just couldn't help but observe my dad getting his things out of the car, and my mom just sort of intently watching my dad. Now, one of the things my dad was doing was bringing over a little vase with three roses for their anniversary because it's their anniversary, and so I watched him get out of the car. I helped him get some of his things. And as he walked across the street, he said, "Happy anniversary." And it was really simple, the exchange that they had. But I saw the change in my mom's face from this look of intent waiting, like just with her eyes on her husband. And then just to see the simple gesture of love that he offered her on a weekend of their celebration. And it lit up her face. She was so happy to receive something so small and so simple, but so genuine and meaningful. And I just got to, just one of those little things, right, where you get to witness it, you get to see it, and it reminds you of how good the Lord is and how good he wants to be for us and for our life. I'm so thankful. After the gift of my faith, I think the thing that I'm most thankful for in my life is my mom and dad, who you hear me talk about every once in a while from time to time, and they still are, in case you're wondering, they still are the heroes of my life. They still are the best people I've ever known in my life, and their gift to each other has literally made the life's difference for me. I love how in my life that corresponds to what we're hearing in today's gospel and in today's first and second reading. The first reading is a reading of great lamentation by the prophet Jeremiah, who's writing to his people in Jerusalem and in the area of Jerusalem, the kingdom of Judah, the southern part of the kingdom of Israel. And he keeps telling them, You gotta repent. What's gonna happen? The Lord's gonna take all of this away from you. At this point in history, the great Babylonian king, King Nebuchadnezzar, is going to eventually bring his big bad Babylonian army to make siege against Jerusalem. He's gonna capture Jerusalem. It's gonna be officially the end of the kingdom. They're all gonna go into exile. We're sort of in the prelude to that in Jeremiah's reading. And he's gotta just say the truth, which is a really painful thing for him to say, but he's like, "I can't keep it in. I must do this." He almost feels like compelled. He's like, "I tried to not say it, but it just burns inside of me. I have to let it out." St. Paul has a similar kind of burning What we heard today in his letter to the Romans is probably my favorite verse in that whole letter. Now, St. Paul's letter to the Romans is just amazing. If you haven't read it in a while, just from front to back, open your Bible this week and just read Paul's letter to the Romans. But these verses right here, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, are probably my favorite words in that entire letter, just about. Chapter 8 is also really, really good, but the beginning of chapter 12 is phenomenal. Because he says something so profound with great urgency, right? He says, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, to not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you may know what is good and pleasing and perfect, the will of God. The word that he uses there, transformed, be transformed, is literally the word that we have in English, metamorphosis. It was the Greek word metamorphousthe. It's the thing that we witness as children, probably in kindergarten, when our teachers all bought caterpillars and put them right in that little fishbowl, and then we fed them sugar and little leaves, and then we watched the metamorphosis happen. And as little kids, it was like magical. And even now, because you can watch it happen, but it's such a mystery. It's beautiful. You don't even know how it works. I don't know how it works. How do all the little cells know how to rearrange themselves? I don't know. But from the chrysalis, right, out comes this butterfly that is something completely different than what entered. In such a way that it can never go back to what it was. Something that is kind of like cute, right? A little caterpillar that just kind of walks along everywhere and just looks for a leaf. Into something that's truly exquisite, beautiful. Have you ever looked really, really close at a butterfly and noticed just like the detail and the patterns of their wings? And how like delicate, right? Their legs just kind of like, you know, I don't know how they hold it, but it's amazing. It's amazing. Paul says this is the process that is to happen within us. Imagine what it looks like for a caterpillar to become a butterfly. That's what's supposed to happen. That's what's supposed to happen for you and for me. To be transformed in that way, to be renewed. I mean, these words are as timely as ever. Do not be conformed to this age. Amen. Amen. Am I right? I don't care who wins in November. Don't be conformed. Don't be conformed to this age. Our world is not circumscribed by simple economies and policies and whatever is going to burn at the end of time. We live in it. It's not like it's meaningless, but it has its place, which in the kingdom of heaven is like way down here. What's way up here is, are you and I being transformed? Are we literally, do we see ourselves becoming so different that we almost don't even recognize what we were before? Jesus himself speaks with the same urgency in the gospel. When he has to confront this reality in Peter, because he says to Peter, you're not thinking as God thinks, you're thinking as man does. The transformation of the human mind is such a root part of the process of our Christian conversion. It's so deep. Because, and I was talking about this week with some of the teachers down at Lumen Christi. We like to just kind of shoot the breeze and just like, you know, what are things that's really going on? You know, like, how have you really been doing? What's it going to be like this year in our school year? And we try to we just try to think about, you know, important things and sometimes speak about important things. And we were talking about this very reality, about how important it is what we think. And the reason is this: what we're thinking about, probably, you know, like 80% of our day, is what is most immediate to us, what's most apparent to you about probably, I don't know, 80, 90% of every day. What's first and foremost before you is whatever conversation you're having in your mind. Now, sometimes that's replaced by, okay, I'm hungry, right? And so we're noticing something in our bodies, or my back hurts. And sometimes we have, you know, if we have chronic bodily pains, that could be a part of our immediate experience as well, or sort of an acute bodily pain or sensation, right? But for the most part, what I'm noticing more than anything else every day is whatever I'm thinking about, whatever conversation I'm having in my mind. We all have that sort of interior voice. And it is a crucial place that needs to go from caterpillar to butterfly. Because what we think about more than anything else is going to color how we perceive the world and then how we act. Have you ever asked yourself in your mind this question? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do with my life? I hope that you've asked that question. That I have asked that question in my mind, I don't even know how many times. So many times I've asked that question. What am I supposed to do? That question, I didn't stop asking that question even when I became a priest. Like even now, almost daily, I'm asking myself this question. Lord, like, what am I really supposed to be doing? What am I really supposed to be doing? To be pondering that thought in my head. And I just keep coming back like, oh man, God, I just need more. Whatever you're doing in my life, I need more of that. I constantly feel like I need to be praying more and I need to be reading scripture more. Those are things in my life that seem to be answers to that question at the present time. I was like, Father, you're a priest. You pray all the time. Yeah, you know, well, I mean, I guess. I'm sure you're reading scripture. I am, right? I pray the Psalms every day. Read the readings every day. But there's like more. There's more transformation that I need in my life. And then a question, like the really deep, like, what is my purpose? I mean, am I just like walking around just waiting to like leave this world? Do I have a purpose here? And if so, how do I know what that is? I hope you've asked that question. I still ask myself that question. Because that's the kind of question whose answer must be revealed to us. The answer to the question, what am I supposed to do? The answer to the question, what am I supposed to be thinking about? The answers to those questions, you cannot know. You can't come up with those answers on your own. At least you can't come up with the right answer. Not on your own. The only way that we can come to the right answer to those questions is if the answers are revealed by God himself. Because God is the one who knows the purpose of your life and the purpose of my life. God is the one who knows what you're supposed to be doing and what I'm supposed to be doing. And Jesus says this. When that conversation happens, and when God reveals that answer, here's what we will know about it. Whatever that answer is going to be worth sacrificing your life for. That's how you know you have the right answer. Is it worth literally sacrificing my life for this? Amongst all the things that I can choose in my life to literally die for, is this thing in my mind, is it worth dying for? Is it worth laying down my life for? And if it is, it's going to be something that lasts forever. It's not going to be something that will die with sort of the temporal age that we're currently living in. There are a lot of temporal things in this world that we have to pay attention to, right, that we have to be good stewards of. We're not supposed to just ignore things. But again, those things are like in comparison, way down here in comparison to what's my life's purpose. My life's purpose has like nothing to do with politics, nothing to do with money, nothing to do with economy, nothing to do with gaining possessions. That's not my purpose in life. My purpose in life is what God tells me I'm supposed to sacrifice my life for. That's my purpose in life. What is worth dying for? That is the transformation of my mind. Because if I'm convinced, if that's what's present to me, first and foremost, as that interior conversation for like, you know, 85% of my waking hours, it's going to change completely how I act and what I do and what I choose. Jesus loved Peter enough to confront him with this in a really direct and frankly uncomfortable way. Oh my gosh, I would melt if the Son of God ever called me Satan. I would die. I don't know how I would bear those words. I don't want to. I want to be conformed. And I'm still on that journey, as are we all. But along the way in life, God is so good as to give us those kind of glimpses as to what he means and what that looks like in real life. And one example is my mom and dad's 40th wedding anniversary. Because what happened in their life is they found something worth dying for that was going to last forever. And because they found something worth giving their life for, sacrificing their life for each other, because they're going to last forever, right? Our souls are immortal. Because they made the decision to be conformed to that, and to choose that, therefore, what came forth from that sacrifice was life. Enter Brian into the world, right? Phenomenal. It's like magical, right? It's like watching a caterpillar turn into a butterfly, but like on an entirely different order. That would be in comparison, right, to the beauty of a sunset in black and white versus sunset in color. When we are conformed in our minds to something worth dying for that lasts forever, life will proceed forth from that choice. The fruits of it will be seen. Sometimes those fruits will be seen by us and the Lord alone, but many times, in fact, probably much of the time, that fruit, that life, will be also made visible in some fashion so that we can become an example, so that we can become a light to the world, so that people can see what has happened in our lives and look at that and say, whatever that is, I have to have that. I have to have that. Because every human mind was meant to be conformed to the very same thing. Okay, I don't need to keep talking. I think we understand the point. But let's consider that. Let's consider that this week. If you do nothing else this next week, go just read Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 every day, just one time. Just two verses. St. Paul's second reading. Allow yourself to be urged. Allow yourself to ask the question, what am I really supposed to do with my life? Like, really? Like, what's really my purpose here? Am I supposed to do something that makes a difference? I need to know what's worth dying for. Because only the things worth dying for are the things worth living for.